When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, welcome to the Junk Time AFL Podcast, Round 9, 2022. We come to you from Wayne Jackson Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who is thrilled that Damien Hardwick is taking medicinal marijuana. It is Adam Rosenbarks.
G'day, Michael. Yes, I am all on board. When I heard that Dimmer, you know, was on the medicinal marijuana and it was for chronic pain. And you know what? Before I knew it, there were signs that you could see from Dimmer. Like when he rocked up to that press conference in the dreadlocks, I was like, this is a different look.
Yep.
You know, he's got, he had like a Bob Marley t-shirt on. I was like, okay. this is a softer side that we're seeing to Dimmer. And when they cut to him in the box once, he was on the phone. And I thought he was obviously relaying a message, but he was actually ordering some pizzas from Domino's.
Oh, that's what he was doing.
Yeah. So it was a lot going on. And I get it. I understand where he's coming from because I also because I have chronic pain, that I also use, drugs for medicinal purposes.
Really? I didn't know that. Very interesting. What kind of medicinal drug are you on?
I'm on the medicinal meth.
Ah, gotcha.
So if I need to get something done that would normally take, say, 3 days, I just have a hit of the glass barbecue and, mate, my shower has never been cleaner, Michael. You know, little things at home that help you that you don't really want to do. That you just go, bang, I'm going to do the vacuuming in 2.5 minutes of this whole house.
Sure, like it was like prescribed to you by a doctor. Like is it along the lines of like maybe a bit of a procrastination? Or you kind of have maybe a bit of a chronic fatigue kind of vibe to you or something, just a bit of perk me up.
Yeah, it's almost like a reverse ADHD that I've got. And the meth, like, have you ever vacuumed your ceiling before? I mean, it's a great thing to do.
I like it too that you then manage to bring it into the rest of your life, and so you then go to nightclubs for 4 or 5 days in a row. Like, is that one of the side effects of the medicinal meth?
Well, my doctor said that as long as it's on, like when it's in your system, he said, don't stay home, get out and about and, you know, really go up to people and have really animated, loud conversations because they really enjoy that sort of thing. So, you know, and he said, if you're on the medicinal meth, ride public transport. He said, it's better for everyone for you to get around. Don't drive. Don't drive whatever you do, but make sure you get on trams and never touch on. Don't worry about touching on. And just talk to whoever you want. It's probably good to keep your mind active.
And you've also got to make sure that you have at least one friend who is a bit like your minder and also has to be on the medicinal meth. And you even though it is, a bit frustrating, it can be a bit frightening when our pipey friends get on the public transport and sit near you. But you do get a few tails, don't you?
There was even one on my tram into Wayne Jackson Studios tonight. There was one lady who was on the phone, and the end of it was the end of the very loud one-sided phone part of the conversation that we could hear on air end was, don't you call me a fucking dog, you're the dog. And then she hung up the phone.
Wait.
And it was quite entertaining for all the... Because, you know, when you can hear... Because I have my headphones in and you can just hear a kerfuffle.
Yeah.
And then I was like, is someone else here on the medicinal meth like I am? And then you heard... I turned the headphone off so I could tune in.
I think you would have heard the word dog and looked around going, somebody's a fan.
Yeah, exactly. Someone's listened to the show.
So I heard a bloke talking to his mate, and they did what is the tradition amongst those friends of those substances. They obviously had the radio blaring.
You need to share. That's what they like to do. They like to share.
But it was the radio too. Like they brought on, for lack of a better word, like a small ghetto blaster. I don't even know what you call those things nowadays. But they had Triple M on for a good half hour or so. And
listening to The Rub?
Well, no, that's the thing. Like, if it was like listening to like a Saturday coverage or something, it was like, yeah, awesome. But it was like, you know, 3 in the afternoon, whatever. And so you're just getting, you know, classic rock. And what was the conversation they had?
Hang on, but any chance that there was some Foo Fighters got played?
I'd say every second song, probably, yeah.
yeah, okay.
And I venture to suggest that maybe Nickelback might have got a run. But one of them was telling him about he had a friend who was in the army. And and he showed him how to make C4.
Is that right?
Yeah. He said, obviously, I'd never do it unless I was protecting my family. And and then took him through a very detailed, you know, story of how to actually make explosives, which I can't remember now. I should have, maybe it was the day before you had those times when you had notes on your phone or something, so you can't really capture a list.
So you actively on the tram could have sat there and gone home and made yourself a little bit of C4, just for mucking around purposes. That's all.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, as opposed to just like typing how to make C4 into Google and finding
it very easily. That's a good point.
Yeah. But I also like the idea of like, if I had to protect my family, it's like, okay, let me get this straight. So say someone's going to break into your home or something and attack your family. Yeah, so you're going to wire up a bomb to make sure that they don't get it and then blow up your own home.
Well, and no, also, you set booby traps around the house that you will clearly forget about and blow your own legs off.
A bit like a more PG-13 M-rated
Home Alone.
Home Alone.
Yes. Yeah, you got the meth. Oh, who wouldn't watch Meth Head Home Alone? So you just got this guy who thinks that there's fucking people trying to come into the house. There's no one there. And he tries to keep them at bay with a series of amusing stunts over a couple of days.
And if I remember, those robbers were trying to break in during the night. They'd always wait until it was dark before they went in there. Yeah, I think, I mean, absolutely. Home Alone 4, Meth Head Edition, you could be like daytime as well. Like, don't worry about the daytime.
Well,
no,
it would have
sleeping.
To cross. It would have to be nighttime, then daytime, then nighttime, then daytime. It's like an 8-day. It's a fucking long movie, but you're watching it.
Yeah, sure. You do that kind of aftershave scene, but instead he's cleaning his teeth and then he looks in the mirror at his teeth and he goes, anyway, that's
so Damien Hardwick. It said Damien Hardwick said that he had an accident riding a bike with his son about 10 years ago, and ever since then have suffered chronic back pain. So, when I heard that, I thought, it's going to be a football injury, you know, because a lot of those footballers have, you know, problems with their backs and their knees and all that sort of stuff. But Dimmer was out probably doing some stunts, maybe, you know, out on the mongoose doing a cross up and fucking, you know, tried to do a pancake and bailed.
So he said about 10 years ago. So let me think. He wasn't at Richmond at that time. I think he would have been. Would he have still been at Hawthorn by then? Or? Oh, no, actually, Richmond made finals.
Yeah, I reckon he was there.
I feel like he might have been, yeah.
Yeah, I reckon he was. I reckon he might have just come into the club then. Yeah, he would have been at Richmond. So, you know.
Question without notice, but who did Dimmer replace? Because it was Terry Wallace from 05 to 09.
I think that was Dimmer, wasn't it?
Then Dimmer came in at 10, do you reckon?
Yeah, I reckon. I reckon he was there for that long. Yeah, because they were very bad, and then he got Dusty, and, you know, he had a young Jack, and then they kind of became... They got to the finals, I think. 2013 was the one where they lost to Carlton. They had those 3 years where they lost, you know, poorly.
Yep.
And then I think he's been there at that time.
So I wonder, can you take me through this? Like, do you know much about medicinal cannabis by the fact that, are you blazing up a doobie, or is it more like something you put in food or a drink, or is it a liquid, or is it or a tablet, or do you know how it works?
Look, I know more about your class A drugs. I don't really know about your marijuana. I don't think you're blazing up a doobie. I imagine it's like an oil, perhaps, that you maybe have in your tea just to help take the edge off the pain.
Yeah. I can understand it, though, people wanting to get away from painkillers and the like. And he did talk about how he didn't like the side effects. But then also, if you can often ride a little slippery slope too and kind of, you know, have a few too many painkillers, which then, you know, impacts the liver and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden You're breaking into pharmacies on a weekend at 3 in the morning. Yeah. Well, here we go. There's one here. It seems to be like little droplets. Can we go through a little bit about medicinal marijuana?
Quickly.
Medicinal marijuana, legal challenges, blah, blah, blah. What is it? CBD oil. Oh, there we go. That makes sense. Yeah. But I'm not really totally sure what you where you put it. Maybe on the tongue. Maybe you just go straight into like a little medicinal, you know, 10 mils or something.
Yeah, yeah. So you got the dropper and you just, you know, maybe under the tongue, something like that. It goes straight in. Any junk timers out there who are knowledgeable on the medicinal marijuana, please help us out. And if you've got some medicinal meth for sale, we are open to buying it. My man is quite expensive, so feel free to help us out.
Oh, wait a second here. This article, I think, is a while ago, but the recommendation, it's from 2 years ago, and they're still doing trials and the like. There are quite a few thousand people in Australia doing trials. But the standard advice for cannabis patients is to wait 5 days before driving. Sheesh. So you really got a plan before you relieve your pain.
Yeah, that's no good.
Because you obviously can't have it in your system. Just like, you know, regularly, if you blazed up a bong on a Saturday, like it might still be in your blood on the Wednesday.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. So would he be subject, would Damien Hardwick be subject to any of the drug tests that the players would have to go to? The coaching staff wouldn't have to worry about that kind of stuff, would they?
No, I'm sure they wouldn't have to, no.
Like you don't see many coaches with like shaved heads and no underarm head, do you?
Yeah, sure. But also when the players get caught doing something wrong, they go, hey, you shouldn't have done that. You know, like the guys at the front of Hollywood Showgirls, hey, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have left the harp. And they go, yeah, but you're on fucking marijuana, mate. You can't point the finger
you're
at
off
me.
Your chops. Yeah, what are you doing wrong? Yeah. But there's going to be a lot of changes around Melbourne, Michael. We're seeing the MCG is having itself a little bit of a redevelopment.
They are going to do that. Now, it can't be for a few years. So it can't be until, I think, about late 2027 when they've got the potential Rugby World Cup final or tournament in general, but then also the Commonwealth Games. We got Melbourne got the Commonwealth Games like just a few weeks ago, didn't they?
Yes, for 2026, but I don't think it's going to be regional Victoria. So I don't think, or perhaps maybe the opening ceremony might be at the MCG.
You'd
rather
think
than,
so,
you know,
yeah.
That,
but then I think
Mars Stadium out of Ballarat.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's actually a pretty cool way to do it. Take it out to the people, Adam.
Oh, and that's what the people want. That's what that's what country Victoria's been screaming out for, the Commonwealth Games.
So they're looking at taking down, I think mainly reshaping the newly commissioned or newly named Shane Warne Stand. I think that seems to be the area they want to target. They've got plans.
Do you think it's odd that that particular grandstand is only, what, maybe 30 years old?
If I remember correctly, it opened in 1992.
Yeah, okay. So that's not particularly old. Like, you just sort of, it just feels like, and when you go there, it doesn't feel like an old part of the stadium. You know, it doesn't feel like you're walking into something that's really old because it's not old.
I feel like it feels a bit more run down, and run down's even a strong word for that. But that's also by comparison.
Hang on. When do you go to the southern part of that particular football ground?
When I get lost.
Yeah, okay. You're like, what is this? What happens over here?
But it's you know, comparison to the other half of the ground, but also I'm leaving myself wide fucking open here for you to chip in. But also that's built in, what, 2005 it opened maybe? 2006?
Yeah, I reckon.
Six, yeah. But and then also I think a lot of it as well is like the corporate game. So they go, well, we built it, we've got 30, now let's build 90, you know?
Yes, okay.
And we just suck.
So the additions they're going to put into it, they're planning, there's plans for a 5-star hotel and new bars and restaurants. So it's going to be like, is that around the area or can you stay at the MCG? Because can I say, if that was an option to have a hotel room that was in like a corporate box where you could look out onto the G, that would be fucking awesome.
That would be really fucking cool. And then I've always romanticized living in a hotel for a bit where you kind of have, you know, a nice large room and you can have things on call. So you can cook for yourself if you want, but you have fine dining that can be brought to you. I actually wouldn't mind living at the MCG if I did have a window that looked out on the ground.
I reckon that would help fund it. If you could spend like 3 nights in the corporate box, I reckon a lot of people would want to do that. How cool would it be?
I think it might be the Skydome in Toronto. Junk Timers might correct me out there, but I feel like they have a hotel that looks out onto the ground or looks out onto sun. Yep. I feel like there's a Canadian arena, and I think it became a bit notorious like, you know, a decade ago when a couple of people were doing naughty stuff and people could
Well, of course. As soon as anything happens, people go in there and film themselves having sex. That's the first thing that's going to happen no matter what you do.
Well, I think people could see it from the ground.
From the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
So I think that was the problem. Yeah. But yeah,
a five-star hotel. Kids have got
to learn. New bars and restaurants, which is, you know, a given.
Well, you'd assume that would just be an AFL kitchen and bar that you don't have to go to the airport for.
That's a really good, interesting question. If they would build one. And anytime the AFL does have control over building a restaurant out of ground, why don't they just put in an AFL kitchen and bar? I feel like that's a no-brainer for them.
Well, is it too close? Because shouldn't there be one at Marvel? Isn't Marvel getting the redevelopment? I mean, Marvel's getting a running track put around it. When are we seeing that? You know, there's been that many times. I went to the footy at Marvel last week, and you know what I wanted just before the game after I'd had a couple of beers before I got there? I wanted to go for a fucking run around the oval.
A few
like
laps,
around the
yeah.
outside of the... Yeah, and I couldn't because there's no fucking track there. I mean, are you going to do it or not, AFL?
I feel like it's been about 5 years since they put that information out there. They haven't done anything. Now, was there any kind of major event that kind of took place over about two or so years that might have impacted the AFL?
Potentially. But there was also like the perfect time to do it. Like get in there. There's no crowds there for 2 years. Fucking whack in the running track. Put in your ballroom that you're going to host the Brownlow at. It's all done. No one's there. We come back 2022. You're like, oh, man. There's a running track here now. I'm going for a run.
If we can go back to the AFL kitchen and bar, which I don't like to talk about much, but if we go back to that, wouldn't you think it'd be logic even just for the AFL by the fact that I'm going to presume they have quite a bit of say over what food brands are brought into the ground? Now, they may not have 100% say. I'm sure the G might have, their own deals and stuff like that. But surely the AFL would want to get an AFL kitchen and bar kind of at least, you know, the fast food version in there so people can go and get a Premiership pepperoni or a midfielder's margarita, yeah. Just to kind of good for the brand.
Yeah, I think they're waiting for the one at the airport to create such a buzz that, like, when people fly in from internationally and they're like, what is this? And they go, there's not only just one here, there's also one at Marvel. And people go, oh, is that the ground with the running track around it? We were just about to go there. They're like, absolutely. There's an AFL kitchen and bar there as well.
Is it a bit like... They're doing a bit of a soft launch, so they're mainly waiting.
I think it is.
They're waiting for them to get the three Michelin stars before they really go all out and go, hey, we've got the stars.
Think so.
We're never going to lose them, obviously. Every year it's going to be perfect. If you want to get a $20 glass of white wine while you sit down and charge your phone for a few minutes, you're more than welcome to come into the AFL kitchen bar.
Recommend it. So at the MCG, they're going to – and how's this? This is fucking – if you're standing up, Junk Timers, take a seat. There's going to be, get this, new rooftop lighting.
I know.
Whoa. I mean, I can't even get my head around the concept of rooftop lighting. What? What are you talking about? We don't need lights on the roof. You guys are fucking mad.
So they're talking about, I think what they do at Optus Stadium, so they don't necessarily have the big light towers. Am I right?
I think that is correct. Yeah, they've just got the really powerful floods.
And so they do that from the top of the building, but then also say, I don't think the idea is that they knock down the light towers because they went up in about 1985, so they're probably heritage listed by now, obviously.
They are. They actually are.
Oh, are they truly?
Yeah, that is a fact. They can't move them or change them because they're heritage listed.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Okay. So they kind of just want to integrate them into the design. But then also On top of that, there are going to be barbecue facilities.
I love this. Sky-high public barbecue decks. Now, what could go wrong with the general public being allowed on the roof of the MCG? I see no problems, Michael.
I think
it would be great.
So we're allowed up really, really high to kind of have a pre-game barbie, or is it the kind of thing where, you know, if the ground is open during the week, can you go in and have a barbecue or have a function there or something?
I guess so. So you could potentially be walking your dog or rollerblading around the G and just, you know, cop a fucking sausage to the back of the head from the sky-high public barbecue.
Or someone's dropped their can from about 50 metres up.
Yeah, just dropped it and it's gone like 30 metres away from the building, almost like they've aimed it at you.
This is what I like as well. There are going to be massive glass panels, right, to provide inward and outward views for the fans. Not only will they lift the capacity by about 5,000, but I love inward and outward by the fact, you know, sometimes I go to games. Been to a few grand finals, you know, they've been tight, my team's been involved, I've been a bit nervous, a bit tense, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what, I could watch this game. I could watch this game, but how convenient would it be if there was an outward-looking window where I could stare at the car park for a good 10, 15 minutes? Just look at the record boys packing up.
I mean, I think that's a lot of what brings the MCG undone is the fact that you can't just be in the Southern Stand and, you know, watch the trains that go through Jollymont and Punt Road and all those train stations around there. It's a massively missed opportunity.
Yep, sure. I always wish that when I'm watching the game and it's a tight game, it's a good game, my team's winning, I always want to be able to kind of watch the game at the same time as watching Train Yard that's about 125 years old.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just want to see someone get stabbed on platform 5.
Well, it's getting an update, so Junk Timers, keep an eye out for it. There's going to be a new MCG. It's going to be great.
So, Leon Cameron, question without notice.
First coach to go this season.
Question without notice, sacked or his own decision? Saw the writing on the wall, do you think?
Absolutely. I think if you're this far into the season and they haven't even begun to talk about next year's contract, and you're in your 10th year, you kind of like go, it's like in a relationship, if your partner doesn't start making any long-term plans with you, you're like, oh, what do you want to do for summer holidays? And they're like, oh, I reckon we just hold off on the summer holiday chat for now.
Yeah. I think we...
I don't think we don't need to go. Holidays are overrated, don't you reckon?
I think it's a bit worse. No, in your case, Adam, it's more like, what do you want to do this weekend? And it's like Thursday. Yeah. And they're like,
it's too far away.
You're getting a text tomorrow.
yeah. I haven't even thought about Friday, let alone Saturday and Sunday.
So I think it was pretty much a 50-50 decision. I think he actually went to the powers that be, who were maybe even a tad surprised by it. He went to Dave Matthews Band, went and talked to him. Then they talked about they were out the front of the ground or within the area of the ground, and they went to kind of shake hands or kind of even hug, and they were by a bit kind of like, oh, I think it's a bit weird if we get seen by the team doing that. Yep. They must think something will be up. So they kind of said, they just both went, okay, I'll see you later.
Take it easy, mate. Take it easy.
Went off and made the announcement and stuff like that. But there is a report as well that Leon did have dinner at Rockpool the next night with the big wigs, Jimmy Bartel and Dave Matthews Band and a few others. They shared a bottle of red. And
that's nice. So it was very... It was very a healthy way to do it, I suppose, is a good way. He didn't find out through the media. He called his own shots. He goes out with his head held high, even though they were pathetic in a 5-goal loss to the rampaging Blues. I mean, you know, what are the odds that he's going to come up against probably one of the best teams the competition has ever seen in his last game? And probably, you know what, even if he hadn't resigned, after they saw what Carlton did to him, they would have gone, Leon, come in here. Step into my office. Why? You're fucking fired.
I like the idea that you said that it was good that he didn't find out through the media. I just want to give you an example. Unless he reads the Daily Telegraph's like back 20th page every fourth Wednesday, I think that's when he would find out. He'll find out in a month. You go, fuck, I'm fired.
Hey, you know what I was trying to look for? So I had an eye on the Gold Coast game yesterday, and then obviously Carlton played GWS. And I had a look on the AFL website, you know, just to see what the crowds would have been, because it was pissing down rain up in the Gold Coast, and the crowd looked like it couldn't have been more than like maybe 2,500.
Yeah.
Right? They're playing Frio. You know, Gold Coast aren't exactly shooting the lights out. You know, they've won their last two. They've been great, but it's bucketing down with rain. But the AFL, They don't put the official match attendance up. And they didn't for the Carlton GWS game either. No.
So have they gone with any figure? Have they gone with approximately? Or have they just ignored it entirely?
Yeah, just ignored it. Just didn't happen. No, what are you talking about? It should be on there. We must have forgotten.
Not a bad win, though, from the Goldie, I must say.
Mate, they've beaten Swans and Frio in 2 weeks. They're coming good. I mean, ever since Levi Casbolt has got to that club, they've found a little bit of grit.
They've got a leader to follow.
Yeah, that's right.
They've got a football general in their midst.
He's put him on their back and just said, "Follow me, fellas." So who do you reckon's gonna? Who do you reckon is gonna? Who coaches GWS? Question without notice. Who coaches them next?
So Clarko talked last week on 360, I believe it was, saying that he's not there to muck around, not there to fuck spiders, he's there to win. And I don't think money is going to be an offer for him. He will have more than enough money. He'll be completely fine. And actually, you could even theoretically say, go and do some consulting for a few different clubs here overseas, whatever. Maybe you could make equal amounts or something, be a gun for hire. So I don't think if they said, back the truck up, I don't think that will appeal to him. I think it has to be the right scenario. Now, I think the key is that he's got a kid who's doing year 12 this year. And so that kind of frees up a bit in terms of doesn't have to be around for that.
The pressure on that kid, though?
Read between the lines.
Imagine he goes really badly in year 12. He's like, Dad, I've got to repeat.
Oh, fuck
yeah. Hole in the wall. Hole in the wall. Punched. Head. Bang. What are you fucking talking about? You're pathetic.
So I feel like the Giants are a good prospect because you feel like he's got to hope for a miracle to get the Suns out of the bottom of the barrel. And I feel like the Giants have a good setup for him. Like, there hasn't really been any kind of bad blood at the Giants. Like, Sheed's that first couple of years, then Leon, they've been very successful, didn't get the trip in 19. But it's not like they've been a basket case.
But don't forget that Hurdy's been loitering. Hurdy's been up there in a kind of playing a leadership role, which I think he does. He's up at the club a couple of days a week. He's obviously concentrating on his chocolate empire, cacao. But he's there and around, and I reckon he'd be like, hey, yeah, remember I coached a team. We did all right. We did all right for a bit. Don't look too much into it. Why'd you leave? Don't worry about that. I chose to leave the club that I played for.
There were some allegations, but technically they were never fully proven.
Proven, yeah.
But still half the team got suspended for a year.
Yeah, and I left the country after that. But apart from that,
well, they do
I'm
talk
the
about
this team.
There was an article talking about Hurdy, because Gil kind of gave his tick of approval, said if they do approach Hurdy, he's happy for him to be back in the game. But there was an interesting thing from one of the officials at the Giants who said that Hurdy is actually currently overseas at the minute on business. And we know the business is in Europe, they said. In Europe.
Is he?
So, it must have kicked off.
With the Poodles.
The season. He must be back at the Poodles, surely.
Fucking hell. Yeah.
He'd gone back there.
Would be about right.
I reckon maybe he heard that straight away when Cameron got the sack. He went, shit, I might be a shot here. I better get it. Yeah. Refresh that CV and just kind of, get back into the business of coaching my own team in my own right.
In your own right. That's exactly what you've got to do. Because if you haven't coached a team in your own right, you'll never learn to coach ever.
It could actually change the pattern of coaching if Hurdy does get the job by the fact that maybe it would become a thing where, obviously people are assistants for a couple of years. They might be assistants at a few clubs to get an idea of how different clubs do it. We might actually get to a stage where you're not even going to get a look in as a coach, unless you've coached a French team in your own right. Uh-huh.
Everyone looks at the French leagues and goes, who is possibly the next potential coach that we can bring into the AFL system? I mean, that's just a given.
Mm-hmm. So do you think, Hurdy, I would put it out there, I don't think he's got any fucking chance of getting anywhere near a fucking interview.
Yeah. I mean, I was sort of all in on Mark Neild for a bit just because of what he can bring to the club. Because when he was Melbourne, that's all anyone talked about was Melbourne. He brought a lot of, journalistic minutes to the table. And if that's what you're after, GWS, you want to be put on the map, than have Mark Neild come to your club and just freak all the journalists out and have everyone question why you're there.
And Nathan Barkley has said he doesn't want to do it. Now, that can change very easily, but he says he doesn't want to leave Melbourne with his kids, yep, who would be getting to kind of mid-late-ish teens, I imagine, by now.
Yeah. What about, all right, hear me out. I know he hasn't coached for a little while, but and he only has to do as little as he wants, but Paul Ruse coaches via Zoom from Hawaii. Because as we know, he was a consultant for North Melbourne. He was a consultant for, I think, for David Noble. I don't even know what his exact role was. And I think he would maybe Zoom in one day a week or something. And he's since pulled back on that because it was a bit too much for his schedule. So if Ruzy can do, like if he, say you have, for example, Mark McVay is in there, but he's not the coach. He's just Ruzy's mouthpiece. Yep. So at the start of the day, Ruzy goes, hey, I had a bit of a think about it. Plays Coniglio forward. There you go. That's all I've done. And then McVay gets to take over, but Ruzy still gets the big bucks. And if they make the grand final, it's Ruzy who picks up the Premiership Cup and says, it's been 11 years. And everyone goes bananas.
Maybe they can sweeten the deal and be, hey, Ruzy, you don't actually have to come to the games. You don't actually have to watch the full games. We'll just send you those five-minute highlight packages the AFL clips up about an hour after the game. Just have a look at that. Give us some notes. And we'll go from there.
And
enjoy the beach.
You know what, Ruzy? You don't even have to watch all of it. Just get the gist of how they played. Maybe scroll through to the end to get the final scores. But
sure, when the opposition like kicks like four goals ahead in like the last term, you go, ah, yeah, that's it. I'm done.
Yeah.
Turn it off.
Yeah, turn it off, yeah. I like it. I think it can work.
So I went to the game on the weekend, Hawthorn-Richmond. It was actually good to be back there. I mean, I've been to a couple this year already. But I also forgot, I hadn't had this at the other games I went to. That feeling of having a few fuckwits around you, calling out stupid shit, or just overhearing the conversations of the people behind you, or like the kind of little running commentary they do during the game, like, you know, oh, why was that a free? That wasn't a free. It was a free. Little scuffles between them, and then just like random comments. You kind of, I've forgotten that feeling as well. I'm not sure. I liked it, but I'm also like, how much am I going to like it moving forward?
No, those people can become really annoying very quickly, especially when you've got just someone who's just doesn't know footy very well.
Yeah, or they're appealing
and
like...
you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, or every free kick given against their team is not there.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, yeah. Yeah, like, they're not realists. They're like, oh, that's not a free, and you're like, it's a free.
Yeah, it's freaking... Yeah.
Yeah.
But entertainment-wise, so we had half-time, chock-a-block, pack full. So we had Vanessa Amorosi come out and do a couple of numbers.
Really? Why?
She, I don't know. She came out on that bit of the stand at the G where they have been putting the musicians the last few years.
Yep.
So she just came out at halftime, and it was a Hawthorn home game, so they planned it. And because I was thinking, oh, fucking Richmond, stupid. And then I was like, oh, no, we're the home team.
It's us. Yep.
So she came out and she did a couple of numbers. None of the bangers. Like, maybe she got a new album coming out, so there's a couple you didn't know. I mean,
she
if you want to get...
Absolutely Everybody, or whatever that fucking song is.
I was thinking, surely she's going to do that. Surely. But no. Maybe you got to pay extra if you want that. Actually, I wouldn't... I would not be surprised if you had to pay more to get that one.
So she goes, here's the two packages I offer. There's the good one. This has got Absolutely Everybody in it. This is 50K. And if you want a couple of things off my new album, $800. And Hawthorn are gone, we'll take package B. Thanks, Vanessa.
It's a little bit like Foxtel. You know, you kind of get the shitty package that you don't want, but you have to purchase to get the sport. But she did a couple of numbers, and it was just a bit underwhelming. No one really was paying attention or anything. And also, I was trying to think, I was like, yeah, like, I mean, you know, back in the day, we'd do, like, you know, lunchtime uni gigs and shit outside. But she, you're still doing them. But I was trying to think about what she would get paid for it, but then I'm also like, I think my friend with me was saying, like, is this, like, a good payer? And I'm like, I don't think it would be. Not massive. But then also, like, even if it was, like, a decent payer, like, you still have to do the gig. Like, you've got to come out.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those ones where you've got to come out and do it, and you're like, that wasn't great. But also, too, why has the AFL decided that we can't be left to our own devices in any of the breaks? Mm. So, you know, like the fucking bongo cam, there's always activations on the field during quarter and three-quarter time. Remember back in the day when you just fucking chat to your mate and that would be it and the music wasn't blaring? And we all survived for 100 years of just chatting to our friends or sitting down and taking it easy.
Well, they had people kicking for goal from about the 30-metre mark. I'm not sure what they were going to win. And then at halftime after Vanessa Amorosi, so they must have thought this was like a better thing, they had the KFC bucket boogie. So
they played
music and people would stand up and dance around. I don't think you got a prize or anything. You just got on the scoreboard. And actually, I think only about three people did it. So the cameraman had a lot of work to do. Going, oh, fuck, got to find someone.
Again, that's another thing that you go, just leave the crowd alone, mate, you know?
Yeah.
The only one that kind of gets anyone's attention is Oblivious Cam.
Oh, okay. You have that? Yep, sure. I don't think I've seen that. I'm sure I have, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be someone in the crowd on their phone. They just put the thing on and they start the timer and it's until they, you know, realize that they're up there.
And when it gets out
to 50 seconds, I'll tell you what, people fucking get into it.
I'll tell you what's a really funny one, Adam. The really funny one. I'll tell you what, they do the kiss cam and they put it on two big blokes.
It's good stuff. Football's in real life.
So just very quickly, we've been talking about doing live shows maybe in Perth or Adelaide. Send in your interest. We've been getting a bit of interest, Adam. Getting a bit of interest.
Yeah.
There was one suggestion here from an Adelaide listener from Jacob, saying, I think the Ramsgate Hotel would be the perfect venue for the live gig. And I think that's actually a fucking genius idea. And he said it's the 20th anniversary this year too.
Oh, fantastic. So I reckon we'd get Mark Ricciuto and Josh Carr and just fucking sit back and enjoy the ride.
Yep. From Ray, not sure if you'll do a football in real life from 2012. Send them in, we're happy to.
Absolutely.
But here is mine. It was New Year's Eve. I was walking around Booragoon. Yeah.
Booragoon, shopping centre.
Shopping centre in Perth, looking for a place to get a haircut. I found a spot and noticed that there was already someone sitting down waiting for a trim, who was none other than Michael Walters.
Sonny.
Being a Freer supporter, I kept my cool and casually asked him if he'd been waiting long. He replied, not long at all. That's about as far as the conversation went, and we both went back to our phones. I was sitting back on the couch, and he was leaning forward. As I looked up on my phone, I realised I had a clear view of his screen, to which I also noticed he was busily messaging people. A long time ago. We wouldn't read this out if it was like a week ago, okay? But it's a long time ago.
We'd discuss it.
I knew it was wrong to look, but I couldn't help make the most out of the situation I was in, so I focused in for a better look, although to my shock, I over-the-shoulder read he was messaging crosstown rival Nick Natanui, to be specific, asking him about what his plans were for the night. Unfortunately, it was his turn to get a haircut next, and my chance to witness a reply never happened.
Oh, that's incredible to find out what Nick Nat's up on New Year's.
A few questions have stayed with me that day, one being, why was he messaging the enemy? And two, how could it seem like Michael Walters did not have plans for New Year's Eve in 2012? That's actually a really good point.
That is a great question without notice. Surely Sonny's the man. Like, people would be texting him going, Sonny, what are we up to? Get me there.
I suppose the kind of thing, maybe he was throwing out like a few fishing rods there, a few hooks, they're going this place, okay, I'll try another one. Yeah, Nick Nat would
not
be...
Not that much into that one.
I mean, if Nick Nat did go to like the nightclub or whatever, like he'd obviously be in the VIP, he'd be laid on. Like, you're best to be Nick's wingman in terms of like getting freebies and, you know.
Oh, absolutely. I imagine had Jacob been able to see the phone for a little bit longer, he would have just texted back, Hip E Club. See you there in Leederville. I hear DJ E-Funk is going to be banging out all the tunes.
Just go to their website, go over their dress code. And also, we did get an email from one of the listeners saying that a lot of people in Perth have had a lot of problem with the hippie club when they haven't shown up in the right stuff.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know
that. Yeah, I don't know if you saw that. Yeah, we did get an email saying a lot of people in Perth have a story about them getting naughty.
There you go. Good. Stick to your policy. You do what you got to do, hippie club.
We're going to hit the road. We are Junk Time Alpha Pod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the Gram.
Go the Blue.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.